Thank you for joining me this Friday, the 10th of May. I'm Grady Wolfe, market analyst with Bell Direct, and this is the weekly market update. As we near the end of FY24, it is an important time to review your portfolio and investment strategies heading into the new financial year. Understanding the macro outlook and data moving markets is a strategic way to start your journey for FY25. And there is no better way, really, to delve into the macro outlook than hearing from the highly respected and experienced Deputy Chief Economist at AMP, Diana Messina. Diana, thank you for joining us today and thank you for your time to discuss the macro outlook for the remainder of FY24 and heading into FY25. Now, the markets both locally and globally have been very macro-driven in FY24. What are the key drivers moving forward and moving markets to end FY24?
It's really around inflation, the impact that that has on bond yields. So the market is being driven by what central banks are expected to do around interest rates. If central banks are forecast to start hiking again, like in Australia or the US, because inflation is proving too sticky, then you'll see market pricing for interest rates go up, higher bond yields. That could bring some downward pressure on share markets. But I think you really need to see a big reassessment of interest rate expectations to see a big downturn in equity markets. Equity markets are vulnerable because bond yields have obviously risen to a large extent. So the difference between bond yields and earnings yield, it doesn't look as attractive for an equity investor. At the same time, investor sentiment is still quite optimistic, which is a bit of a contrarian signal if you're thinking about the risks to the markets. And we also have ongoing geopolitical tensions around the Middle East, which could lead to higher oil prices and commodity prices. That always tends to spook markets if we get a worse turn in that outcome. And then, of course, the US presidential election, which could see a lot of volatility when that result happens in November. But in our view at AMP, we think that the next 12 months for share markets still looks positive because we don't think we're going into a recession. And we think that inflation is going to come down, which will allow the central banks to start cutting interest rates sometime in the second half of this year.
Now, on that, how do you see the markets faring in FY25?
One of the main things is what's happening to earnings growth. In the US, earnings growth still looks pretty good in the next 3 years. It's running at about 10% or so, especially in that AI sector, which is kind of broadening out as well to not just those top 10 stocks, but to some other stocks that are kind of sharing in on the happenings in the AI sector, if you like. And then in Australia, earnings growth doesn't look as strong in the next few years. I think that that will see Australian shares not performing as well as our US peers. We also have quite a different composition in terms of what drives our share market. We have much larger exposure to banks and to mining or energy stocks. We think those will underperform relative to tech stocks and those consumer discretionary stocks in the US. So we think Australian shares will probably underperform the US. What you really need to watch for in FY25 is that chance of recession. If central banks don't start cutting interest rates and we see inflation is still elevated, you may see some sort of downturn next year, whether it's a bad one in terms of being a recession or just a mild downturn, that could spook equity markets. So that's something to watch out for, but we're not there yet.
Now, inflation is a big driver, as you mentioned. What do you see on an inflation front locally and globally in FY25?
I'm a bit optimistic on the outlook for inflation. I think it has further room to decline, and both in terms of headline and core, or the trim mean like we talk about in Australia. In Australia in particular, I think we will see a lot more downside to our inflation data in the next 6 months. The US, I think we need to see lower wages growth for inflation to come down a bit further, particularly in the services side. But I do still think that by the end of this year, we will have inflation at the top end of central bank's target band. So in Australia, inflation just around 3% or so. And in the US, that it will come down closer to where the Fed's more comfortable, so around the 2.5% mark. So inflation's unlikely to go back to 2% levels like it was before the pandemic. But if it's running at 2.5% or 3%, I think the central banks will be obviously much more comfortable with that environment. And they will be more happy to start cutting interest rates because I think that the economic conditions will allow them to do so.
Were you surprised when the RBA increased their headline inflation outlook to rebound to 3.8% in the December quarter at this week's meeting, the latest RBA meeting then?
I was surprised that they revised up the headline inflation forecast so much. I mean, there was definitely a case to revise up the true mean. That was really where the surprise was in the March quarter, that the true mean was a lot higher. We revised up our true mean numbers as well. But for headline inflation, I mean, it can be so volatile. It's really influenced by a lot of changes to food and petrol prices, which we know can move around a lot. I think that the RBA is sort of getting too concerned about that March quarter inflation data. And the way that we look at it, we think that inflation is going to come in a bit below those forecasts. But you know, at the end of the day, it is a forecast. So they're obviously looking at different things to what we are, or placing more emphasis on the different components of inflation. So that's what explains the differences between economists' forecasts.
Now, rate cuts are what every investor wants to hear. And this week, Sweden became the latest central bank in Europe to cut interest rates. In another move that signals European economies are taking less lead from the US Fed, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, we always think about the Fed as, you know, this barometer to what every other central bank does, but that's not necessarily true. You know, in a lot of cycles, central banks can move before or after the Fed, or they can be moving interest rates to moving up them or down. It doesn't matter what the Fed is necessarily doing. What the Fed does determine, though, is that sentiment around financial markets, which is important, and movements in the US dollar, which can influence a lot of currencies, which are tied to the US dollar, particularly for emerging countries. But we need to really remember that in this particular cycle, domestic economic conditions can be quite different across economies. Some emerging countries are already cutting interest rates. Japan is still hiking interest rates. China is still cutting interest rates, and they have deflation going on at the moment. And it makes sense for Sweden to start cutting interest rates because their unemployment rate's going up and they've managed to control inflation. So they are in a different situation to the US and to Australia as well. So I think that we shouldn't have this idea that central banks are tied to whatever the Fed does. Of course, they will watch the US Fed. It's the largest economy in the world. It has a lot of impact to financial markets. But central banks will move interest rates depending on domestic economic conditions. And it looks like the Bank of Canada and the European Central Bank will start moving interest rates or cutting interest rates ahead of the Fed, probably around the middle of this year.
Now on to rate cuts. When do you think they will come through locally and out of the Fed?
Well, locally in Australia, we think that the Reserve Bank could be cutting interest rates by November. I mean, of course, the risk is that will be pushed back into early next year. But if our inflation forecasts are right, then perhaps by November. And for the Fed, we think it will be a similar timing, so late into the second half of this year.
And finally, where do you see the market opportunities heading into FY25?
Well, I think that there is still some more upside to go with the AI-themed sector, tech, consumer discretionary stocks. I mean, the US economy is going to slow this year, but I don't think that we're going to have a recession. I think that the US economy is still quite resilient. So I really see more upside to US stocks. I think the US will continue to be an outperformer.
Deanna, thank you so much for your time today and your insights into the macro outlook for FY25.
Thanks, Grady.
Locally, from Monday to Thursday, the ASX 200 rose 1.77% as investor sentiment was boosted by the RBA holding the nation's cash rate at the current level of 4.35% for the next period. Utility stocks led the charge, rising 5.37%, while every other sector also closed the week higher. The winning stocks were led by Liontown Resources, rising 14.29%, PolyNovo adding 12.44%, and Healius rising 11.83%. And on the losing end, Smart Group Corp fell 8.17%, Sims lost 8.13%, and Spark New Zealand declined 7.98%. The All Ords posted a 1.84% gain over the four trading days this week, led by Hutchison Telecom soaring 31%, while Tourism Holdings posted a 31.8% loss. The most traded stocks by Belderac clients over the four trading days this week were CBA, Westpac, ANZ, NAB, BHP, and Quantum Intellectual Property and Woolworths. Clients also bought into Woodside while taking profits from Fortescue and Qantas. And the most traded ETFs by Bell Direct clients this week were led by BetaShares Australian Active Hybrids Fund, Magellan High Conviction Trust Fund, and BetaShares Geared Australian Equity Hedge Fund ETF. Looking at the week ahead on what may move markets from an economic data perspective, NAB business confidence data for April in Australia is out on Monday, with the forecast of a slight rise to 2 points from 1 point in March, which will indicate business confidence is in current conditions is rising. Overseas key inflation-related data is out in the US throughout next week, starting with producer price index data out on Tuesday, with economists expecting a flat reading on March. Core inflation and inflation rate data are also out next week in the US, with the expectation of a slight decline in core inflation to 3.7% in April from 3.8% in March, and the inflation rate is expected to remain at an annual rate of 3.5%. US retail sales round out the week next week, with the market forecasting a decline from March's 0.7% rise to a 0.3% rise in April, indicating cost of living pressures are dampening consumer discretionary spend. And that's all for this Friday. Next week, we will be producing written updates to start the week as we are attending conferences, but we'll be back to normal programming later in the week. Happy Friday and happy investing.